You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening and for subscribing. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with Dave Vermeil, and we're recapping the Heat's 116-107 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. In one of the Miami's best wins of the season, the Heat were coming off of the second night of a back-to-back, completing the set with a pair of wins. They were without Justice Winslow for the second straight game, and yes, the Thunder were also without Russell Westbrook, but still a great win, especially considering the slow start they got off to. And the Heat were led by their bench, which outscored the Thunder, David, 67-10. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. That was one of the weirdest games I think I've ever watched.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've been talking about Miami's bench possibly becoming a strength of this roster. And I know it's been a consistent theme all season long. I mean, obviously, from Eric Spoelstra down to everybody on the roster, at the start of the season, one of the things they all talked about was the depth being a strength. And we saw over the course of the season that played out a little differently, where it was a little complicated trying to figure out where everybody was going to play, who was going to get minutes on a night-to-night basis. You saw guys start for a few games and then go out of the rotation for a few more, and you never really had any kind of sense of stability. But ever since the trade deadline, one of the things that we've seen, and some injuries contributed to this, most notably to Hassan Whiteside and James Johnson, but Eric Spoelstra was forced to change his lineup around, and the bench unit has been phenomenal. Particularly Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic playing together have been very, very effective. Derrick Jones Jr. has been a key player either as in the starting lineup or off the bench. But, I mean, Oklahoma City is not a bad team at all. They're very, very good defensively. And, yeah, even without Westbrook, they're still pretty good. And we had expected this to be a complete loss, to be honest with you. When we talked about this after our recap for the Hornets game, we thought, you know, going in there on a second night, not having much time in between these games and going up against a very tough defensive unit like Oklahoma City, it's not easy to pull out a victory there, and especially with that really slow start. That slow start seemed more indicative of the kind of game I thought we'd see because, you know, everybody was missing shots, similarly to what happened in the first quarter against Charlotte on Sunday. But somehow the bench really responded. Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade, 51 points combined. That's a phenomenal performance from them. Even James Johnson, a guy that you and I had talked about maybe not being in the lineup or the rotation during the playoffs if this team makes the playoffs, has come on really, really strong with his defense, aggressively attacking the hoop. All the things that we expect from James Johnson. And, you know, it seems like maybe he's finally healthy again and able to contribute at a high level.
Yeah, I think part of that discrepancy, that 67-10 difference from the bench scoring, Westbrook being out elevated Dennis Schroeder to the starting lineup for the Thunder. He is the Thunder's leading bench scorer. So some of that, it's not completely representative of what happened there, but, you know, it's still 67 points from the bench, period, end of story. And I don't care if Schroeder is coming off the bench or not. He's not making up the other 57 points, in that difference. No. So you're right. It is sort of this perfect storm, right, of Miami sort of finding this new strength of its bench. And the Thunder, whose weakness this whole season has been its bench, right? And Schroeder has not played well since the All-Star break. So I think there was sort of, again, that perfect storm of things where the Heat were able to get a jump on the Thunder by using their strength against their weakness. But, again, like coming off the second night of a back-to-back without Justice Winslow, you'd think it wouldn't be quite this. But Goran Dragic, I know we're going to talk about him a little bit later, but had 10 points in the fourth quarter against Charlotte, which was overshadowed by Dwayne Wade's big fourth quarter, but had 10 points in that quarter, and then the first quarter of this game went out and scored 11 and made his first four shots. So 21 points combined between the last fourth quarter and this first quarter. That's been a huge boost for them. He looks really healthy. We talked about James Johnson a little bit. His defense on Paul George, now I know Paul George finished with 31 points on 9 of 18 shooting, made 4 three-pointers. Paul George was awesome. Like, if the last time the Thunder beat the Heat was part of Paul George's MVP highlight reel, this looked like it could be one of those again. You know, he could just base, like, his whole, like, highlight montage would be, like, 67% of him just, like, burning the Miami Heat. But, you know, James Johnson did make it difficult for him all night, and he looked really fresh, you know? James Johnson looked good. And I know that we talked about James Johnson maybe not being in the playoff rotation, and you challenged me, you texted me before we started recording here, you're like, do you still think James Johnson's out of the playoff rotation? I don't know, man. Not if he keeps playing like this.
Yeah, I mean, look, the James is a versatile player. I mean, he does add some dimension to this team. Look, his perimeter scoring is always going to be suspect, but as long as he's able, as long as he's healthy and has some little bit of explosiveness, he can get to the rim, he can dunk, and he did that. He's constantly moving. One of the things that a lot of people have talked about, Zach Lowe most notably, loves James Johnson's constant mobility, and you pointed out a number of times as well. And that really helps, you know, when you have guys like Wade and Dragic, who had 9 assists tonight, you know, phenomenal passers in that secondary unit, not to mention a tertiary playmaker in Johnson. But with Johnson's constant mobility, you know, guys can find him. And he's cutting, he's moving around, and that makes it easier to get those necessary points off the bench. And so, I mean, I think he's a valuable component. I still think Magruder is the one who's most likely to be out of the rotation. Maybe you can make a case that James is still not likely to be part of it. But I mean, I know we'll get a question, or I think we did get a question about this via Twitter. But I think somebody asked us about whether or not we still saw an 8 or 9 man rotation being the reality for Miami. I think Spoelstra might be forced to kind of go a little deeper maybe and have a 10-man group with James Johnson being part of that.
Well, let's go to those Twitter questions. We'll do that after this break. Did you know that you could fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tourney. Might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. Look, you know how brackets work. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game, every round, and that's all there is to it. And the best part is, you could play for free with the code DRIBBLE. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends to compete for bragging rights. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now and use the code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's the code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's go to Twitter to answer some of your questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. This first one is a response to my tweet that Dwayne Wade has a case for Sixth Man of the Year. Jeff writes in, does he? On the heels of that, Ferris writes in, why is D. Wade retiring again? Because he ain't washed. So, look, I want to defend my Sixth Man of the Year tweet first. I know Lou Williams is probably going to get it.
Sure.
And I understand why. Like, the dude is coming off the bench for the Clippers, who have a much better record than the Heat, are going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference probably. He's scoring over 20 points per game. He's got 5.2 assists per game. Like, Lou Williams, he deserves it if he gets it. But here's my case, not so much against Lou Williams, but for Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
Without Dwayne Wade, the Heat don't make the playoffs, period. Mm-hmm. And also, it's Dwayne Wade, so let's give it to him.
I'm not sure that voters see it that way. I think there's also that kind of knock on him is the fact that it is Dwayne Wade. And maybe in the second part of this question, Ferris's question, that he ain't washed, maybe that's partly why Wade wouldn't get those kind of votes, I think, is because there's still Hall of Fame-level expectations,
because he's too good.
I think he's still viewed that way. Whether he's capable of being that good or not, I mean, the constant references to quote-unquote vintage Wade, I think, kind of show how people still tend to think of this player, this person. And so even these kinds of games where he has phenomenal nights like he did against Charlotte, like he did tonight against Oklahoma City, those kinds of things, I think, you kind of tend to expect them. So I don't know if he's viewed in the same way. I also think it's a little bit too little too late. I mean, I think Lou Will has done this for most of the season versus Dwayne not really being as strong as he has been of late. And
Which is crazy to think about. Like, Dwayne Wade is actually coming on strong at the end of the year.
You see, I disagree. Sorry. The reason why is something in talking to him after the Charlotte game, the realization has hit me that he has nothing. He's not going to end the season with anything left in the tank. He knows he's going to retire. And this is to answer Ferris's question. He wants to go out on his own terms. And I think part of the reason why, even dating back to the 13-14 season when he was first on that maintenance program, is because he saw a longer road ahead as far as his career was concerned. And he had to pace himself a little bit. And I think we've seen that over the course of the last few seasons, you know, in Chicago and Cleveland, et cetera, where he kind of had to kind of scale back a little bit because he couldn't go all this way. This is it for him. He knows this.
He was biding his time for the first 60 games, knowing that he was going to have this all-out push possibly for the last 20, that he wanted to go out this way. Yep. I get that. And look, I also get that he might not get handed the Sixth Man of the Year award because he was already sort of handed this honorary All-Star spot.
Yeah.
And so we're like, all right, we already did that for Dwayne Wade. But still, like, I think he's got a legitimate case. Not maybe, but like, I feel like he's not even in the conversation because he's a little overlooked because he's Dwayne Wade.
Lead the charge. I think you could make a case. I think we could. If we see 5-6 more games like this over the next 10 or 12, whatever many games are left in the season, I think you could start to change voters' perspectives. I really do, because I think he's been phenomenal. I think they would want to, and the reality is Lou Williams has won it before, so why not give it to somebody like Wade on his way out? But
yeah, Lou Will has it twice. He already has won it twice. And look, again, he deserves it. If he gets it, great. But Dwayne Wade needs to be on the short list. He needs to be in the conversation, because I keep hearing guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and Domantas Sabonis and everything like that. Like, Dwayne Wade has easily as much of his case as much as a guy like Sabonis and Dinwiddie and all these other guys. Maybe not as much as Lou Will, again, who's averaging 20 points off the bench, which is, again, insane. But
yeah,
let's get him in the conversation. New Era Heat Nation writes in, what's your ideal playoff roster and minutes? Who starts? Who comes off the bench? And when and how deep into the roster do we go? I know you two have discussed a depth of 8 or 9, and I tend to agree at most of the positions have two men that each deserve 16-plus minutes. We can kind of go about this, Dave, in a few ways. Let's just, I don't want to get into the minutes. Like, that seems like a lot, and I think that's going to be really determined by the matchup there.
Sure.
So I don't know that there is an ideal one.
No, I mean, on a game-to-game basis, I mean, there could be foul trouble. Who knows what will happen? So, yeah.
So let's talk, I guess, let's start there. 8, 9, 10 deep. What's ideal?
Well, I think you could make a case for 10 deep. I think, you know, Whiteside is certainly going to come off the bench. I think Dragic and Wade have to come off the bench, and then that kind of leaves, you know, some additional options there. I think when Justice comes back, if he's healthy, he'll be starting again, obviously, and he deserves to do so. And then what is that? Where does that leave Derrick Jones Jr.? I mean, is he going to be playable in the playoffs? And is James Johnson part of your rotation? So those are the two guys I think that are probably on the bubble, Derrick Jones and James Johnson. We're seeing James come on of late, but Derrick Jones adds a dimension there, particularly when they go with their zone defense because of his length and his athleticism, where he's attacking the basket. And a big plus for Spoelstra is his rebounding ability as well. You know, I think that's a big plus to see why Derrick would probably get a few minutes. I could see it going 10 deep, and I don't think Spoelstra has a problem going that deep. I know he's had a tight rotation in the past, but at the same time, I think he'll probably go 10, and I think James will be a part of it.
I think he sticks with 9, and I say that again. I don't want to overreact to like a nice little 2-game sample of James Johnson because Justice Winslow's been out, but he has been really, really good. And just the fact that Spoelstra went with James Johnson against Paul George kind of says everything. But then you wonder, like, all right, if Winslow is in there, like, does he put Justice on Paul George and not James Johnson? Is James Johnson getting any minutes at all? And Derrick Jones Jr. and James Johnson, they are too redundant. They play the same role. Like, they're different players, but they play that stretch four position, mostly next to Whiteside coming off that bench. I don't know, like, how you distribute those minutes. Do you just take Derrick Jones Jr.'s minutes that have been in this 9-man rotation since James Johnson's been resting and just slash him in half and just say, all right, we'll divvy him up. Derrick Jones, you play like the first and third, and James Johnson, you get to play the second and fourth. Like, I don't know. But
I think Spoelstra would be more willing to give those minutes, the bulk of those minutes, to James over Derrick Jones Jr.
And that's where I'm going with this. I think it's a 9-man rotation, and the odd man out is one of Derrick Jones Jr. or James Johnson, and we'll see. You know, I think it'll mostly be determined not even really by Derrick Jones Jr., but by how healthy James Johnson looks. We said this on the last show. James Johnson is a better player right now than Derrick Jones Jr. when he's healthy, but when he's not healthy, it kind of limits what he's good at, and so you go with Derrick Jones Jr., who's been awesome. And but we've also talked about the fact that the zone defense probably isn't going to hold up in the playoffs. And so Derek Jones Jr.'s advantage there, as at least as far as getting minutes in the rotation, I don't know if it'll be the case in a postseason situation. But let's move on to our stat of the game after this break. It's time for our stat of the game.
Take that for data.
David, what do you got?
Well, it's a pretty nice stat. I mentioned Goran Dragic having some pretty phenomenal impact off the bench and against the Charlotte Hornets, and in combination with tonight's game against Oklahoma City, Goran has gone 10 of 15 from three-point range, and I think that can't be overlooked. I mean, he's aggressive with his three-point shot. He seems to be in perfect placement every time. The rotation on the ball, as John Crotty pointed out in tonight's broadcast, looks smooth. He's very, very comfortable with his shot. And that's exactly what we're looking for out of Goran. And I think part of that, again, is the fact that with Tyler Johnson gone, with Wayne Ellington gone, he's found a really comfortable rhythm, and that's playing alongside Dwayne Wade. Ironically enough, when you think back to when he was first acquired by the Heat, one of the problems was figuring out how to play alongside Dwayne because their pace was so different. And now you could make that same case and maybe playing alongside Justice, if he ever wound up playing against Justice, that pace again would be very different because, you know, Goran likes to push the pace. Justice is a little bit more slow, more deliberate. And even now, though, even though as he likes to push the pace off the bench, he's better off the ball. And he's been really, really good playing alongside Dwayne. I mean, along the perimeter, he's been phenomenal. And again, that 10-15 shooting, I think, really highlights how good he can be as far as making an overall impact from his three-point shooting perspective.
Now that we're talking about this, I don't want to go too deep into it, but...
Do it.
Like, Dion Waiters hasn't been that good. Right, for Miami. He's been, of those three guards, he's been the worst, right? Of Wade, Dragic, and Waiters. If we're talking about shortening the playoff rotation,
no.
Does Waiters deserve the minutes, is what I'm trying to say. Like, do you start Dragic now in a playoff situation because of his off-ball shooting? That hasn't been there consistently for Waiters ever since he's come back. Like, do you play Dragic in that starting unit, and then Waiters is out of the rotation completely, and now you've got Wade, Whiteside, and then maybe one of James Johnson, Derek Jones Jr., and now you have a really tight 8-man rotation. I just want to put it out there. I'm not like we could.
No,
we could
it makes sense. I mean, look, I think Waiters' aggressiveness and strength in attacking the basket is a bigger plus. I think he's better at it right now than Goran might be. I think, you know, obviously Goran's strength has been scoring in transition or shooting from the perimeter, and I think now you kind of like Dion driving to the hoop, even if a lot of those shots aren't falling, but mostly because it creates opportunity for guys like Derek Jones Jr. or Bam Adebayo to follow up on rebounds and to score on putbacks. So I think it's a better fit as far as that starting lineup is concerned.
Dragic makes too many shots. That's his problem.
It's a good problem to have.
My stat of the game is 18-7. That was the Heat's advantage in fast break points. Sort of related. They also won the turnover battle 8-19. So just 8 turnovers for Miami. That was huge. Like right there, if you would have just said Miami only turned the ball over 8 times despite Justice not being in there, I would have been like, oh, they probably had a really... And then, of course, Oklahoma City had 19 turnovers. I'm like, oh, this must have been a close game. And 116-107. And it didn't even feel that close. Miami basically had it handled for most of the game except for Paul George's late fourth quarter rally there. But look, it's not often that the Heat are able to beat a team in fast break points and turnovers like handedly like the way they did, especially considering that the bench had such an advantage the way it did. You know, again, Russell Westbrook not being there obviously has a hand in that. But just again, that's really big for Miami getting those easy points, especially against a tough Thunder defense.
Yeah, Oklahoma City does such a great job forcing turnovers. They're very good with active hands. They've got a lot of length, particularly George and you know, Steven Adams has been very good defensively as well. And that wasn't the case tonight. So, I mean, a great road win for a team that's been comfortable on the road and been somewhat unpredictable. We didn't see this as a win, but I'm glad it turned out that way for Miami.
You can connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, including Spotify. Rate, review, and say nice things about us. Check out the Patreon page for exclusive content that helps support the show. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.